I'm not from the property world. I'm a chef. I started in the kebab shops in Grimsby. I then got my first job in property when I was about 24 in Spain. Worked 7 days a week, and it was when the market was booming and everyone was buying overseas. Literally £1 event and made £1 million profit.
Well, that's a story and a half.
How many properties have you currently got?
Around about 125. So the five houses, we sold them. Each house sold for 550.
Don't get the deal first, get the money first. But I'm like, nah. Get the deal first, put yourself under the pressure, and then the money will come.
In total, it's going to work out at about 20 million.
Wow, that's huge, mate.
And I go see the developers and I say, if we sell all of these in one day, give us a big discount. The last development we sold was 79 units, each one priced at about 600,000 per unit. We sold them in 2 hours.
Well, firstly, how was Tony Robbins?
Tony Robbins, that was amazing.
I saw you on stage as well.
Yeah, I was so scared.
Oh, mate.
So it was just one of them things. So they'd asked me if I'd do a testimonial and I went, yeah. You know, I want to give back.
Nice.
Chance to say thank you to him.
Yeah.
And then the opportunity came to take my 14-year-old son. And he's lovely, obviously, but it's my son. But he's little like me. So he looks like his... You get sometimes people say, is he a bit younger? And so I took him on stage. And imagine saying, you know, he's 14, he spoke in front of 10,000 people.
Wow.
On stage. Imagine what that's going to do for him for the rest of his life.
That's awesome. So you're doing massive things in real estate.
Yes, now.
You own like a lot of properties. How many properties have you currently got?
If you're talking about in the company and personal name, it's around about 125.
That's great, man.
Yeah.
And you're doing complexes and stuff and apartment blocks. And you've been full-time in property since 2005?
2005, I got into it selling property.
Yeah.
And then brought my first property in Spain, which was a nerve-wracking experience.
Yeah.
You know, it's different language, different legal system. And if, you know, if I'm honest, I'm not from the property world. I'm a chef. Oh. So that's really, I started in the kebab shops in Grimsby.
So okay.
That's where I learned how to cook.
Yeah.
You know, so completely different background, just to go from being a chef, did a few sales jobs, and then got my first job in property when I was about 24.
Yeah.
In Spain, selling property in 22 different countries. So it was a massive learning curve.
Yeah.
And my boss at the time, he pushed us so hard. I mean, he's a great inspirational guy, pushed us, but we worked 7 days a week, 15, 16 hours a day, traveling around doing back-to-back exhibitions. And it was when the market was booming and everyone was buying overseas.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was my experience.
How universal are the strategies in property? Because I've found that the basic premise of like BRR, for instance, and development and serviced accommodation is pretty kind of universal. You're doing stuff in lots of different countries. You've been involved in property transactions in 23 different countries. How transferable are the skills? Like if you know how to do it in the UK, can you do it in Portugal? Can you do it in Spain?
I find it easier.
Right.
So I think the UK is, when I've come to your watching you on YouTube and coming to the academy, coming to the £1 event, which I actually loved.
Yeah.
I just hoovered up all the information and I find it really hard in the UK because I left the UK when I was 17.
Yeah.
But implementing that in Portugal, Spain, Florida, I literally just switched everything in my brain. And I can remember doing your £1 event and an opportunity appeared. It was so like divine intervention, some people call it. And I went to Africa and I went to Ghana with a friend of mine.
Great place.
Amazing place.
The most underrated country on the planet.
Yes.
And it's a great holiday destination and people don't know it.
Yep. People don't know about Africa. It's insane.
And the investment there. So what were we doing there? Were you investing or holiday?
My company had sold a property to a gentleman, lovely guy, dear friend of mine, Duncan off Dragon's Den, and sold him a property, went along to his charity event, and I just kept putting my arm up. And the bidding went up, and it was a trip to Ghana with an amazing charity called Operation Smile. And I remember the bidding just went up a little bit higher, and I thought, I'm going to miss out on this opportunity to spend 10 days in Africa helping children. And I just really went for it. I put it on a credit card, flew out to Africa. I remember it was just as he was going to be on I'm a Celebrity.
Yeah.
And we had to delay it slightly. Flew out to Africa and I didn't know what I'd landed in. You know, landed, Africa was so different. I was young, I was scared. And then kind of being with Duncan, it made it way safer. And his lovely wife, Nagora. And we carried the first baby through. She got the operation, fixed a smile. And the process of seeing that just changed me forever. That was like a life-changing moment completely.
Yeah.
And you just see it. And then after that, I sat with him and said, would you ever invest in property with me? And he went, you find the correct development. And I remember what you taught me at the £1 event. So I went out and found the correct development. It was up for, can I run through the numbers?
Yeah, please do. Yeah.
So it was up for sale for £1 million and it was 5 houses. And I negotiated the price down to 600,000, literally. Nice. And I love negotiating.
Yeah.
And he said, but I want 600,000 today. And I didn't have the money. So I negotiated back up to 650, gave us 2 years to pay for it. And then I had to do a similar thing, get some money, put it down on the development, reserve it, and then went around and find the investors. Yes. That was pressure.
Oh, I think that's the right way around though.
It's tricky, but people don't understand it sometimes, do they?
No, but when I say the right way around,
yeah.
I heard somebody once say, don't get the deal first, get the money first. But I'm like, no. Get the deal first, put yourself under the pressure, and then the money will come.
Yes.
Because you can't find money without a deal.
Yeah.
And people think that getting the money's hard, but I actually think the hardest bit is getting the right deal.
Yes.
And then once you've got the right deal, then get the money, and you do put yourself under pressure.
Yeah.
So how much did you have to raise?
For that one, because we couldn't use the banks, and I didn't have enough training, to be honest, to use the banks. And we didn't need to.
Yeah.
So the numbers on that was 650 for the land, about £1 million to build it, finish it.
And it's all finished now?
Yeah, it's done. Yeah, that was done in after your first £1 event. So thank you so much.
Oh, wow.
And it was literally £1 event and made £1 million profit.
It was insane. Damn. Well, that's a story and a half.
It was insane. And then, yeah, I should have signed up for the academy then. That's my biggest regret, is not signing up then.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, where would I be now? I mean, pleased where I am now. I'm very humble. But I could have probably helped more people.
And are you selling off the apartments now then?
So the 5 houses, we sold them. That was in 2015.
Right.
And we won the Developer of the Year award for that one.
Damn.
Each house sold for about 550. And all of them houses are worth over 800. They're 5 minutes from Quinta del Lago. Got a swimming pool. Huge, big townhouses. 4 bedrooms, 4 en-suites, plus an extra bathroom. Luxury finishes. And we just, I mean, it wasn't easy, first development.
Yeah, no, I can imagine.
And I did that before we owned a house in Portugal.
So that's a massive deal to go into. Absolutely huge. How long did that take then? What was the process? The
process on that was probably about 16 months.
Yeah. And then the profit was £1 million?
Just over £1 million.
Wow. Yeah. Mate, huge.
It was fine. Thank you. It was a life-changing experience.
That is ridiculous.
It was cool.
So how did you get all the team in place to do that? Like, how did it?
So I used another friend who got me the building quotes, and I trusted him. He'd been a developer before.
Yeah.
So I said, can you help me with this? And he went, yeah, sure. You know, I'd helped him previously in different things with his business. And he's a lawyer. So he checked all the contracts, did everything for me. I just had to keep things moving and be the communicator between everyone. And then we sold all the houses. I've got the sales team to sell the houses. Now we rent them out.
Yeah.
So we're still involved in the development.
Right. Because I've got manage them now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
One of them, we manage for rentals. The other 4, they don't want to rent them out, which I'm a bit like, you could make, I mean, eat them houses, mate, 50, 60, 70,000 per house. My only regret is not keeping it.
Yeah.
I should have refinanced the whole thing. Me and Duncan could have made 300,000, 400,000 a year.
How do you get Duncan then as your investor? Like, that's a pretty huge thing. You know, this guy on Dragon's Den who's really famous. How did you manage to get him to invest in the deal? How did you build that relationship?
It came from Rightmove. I advertised properties on Rightmove. And then Rightmove contacted me and said, Duncan wants to buy a house. And we sold him a villa. One of my staff did.
Crazy.
Yeah. He's still got it.
Yeah, yeah. That's great.
He's a great guy to be around.
And what are you doing now then? So are you still doing those types of big developments or...
Yeah. So I've been doing personal development for years.
Yeah.
11 years. And so I retired at 40. I don't run my company now. So I've got a wonderful CEO. amazing lady called Angela Warren. She looks after the company or the companies. There's about six businesses wrapped into one. She looks after that. So I retired at 40. Went off, spent some time with my mum in the UK, spent some time with my children, got a little bit bored and couldn't figure out what to do next. So I came back to your events.
Yes.
And I brought some friends with me.
You're lucky it worked last time. I'm coming back.
Yeah. Let's make it a bit bigger.
Yeah. And you've also got stuff like, haven't you got an apartment block in Portugal or something?
Yeah. So again, after doing your event, an opportunity appeared to buy seven blocks of apartments. So I went back, negotiated with a bank. The bank repossessions. They were finished, fully furnished, ready to rent. They were already rented. I went and I was smiling because it was your mum who helped me. And I was on the phone to her and I said, how can I get the rental yield and turn it up? And 20-minute phone call. I was like, right, I'm off. The bank didn't even make me go to the branch. It's like Donald Trump writes in his book, if you owe that much money to the bank, they come to you.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is insane. So I just went, yeah, put my hand out, took the opportunity and brought 118 apartments.
Wow.
So it's just crazy.
That is madness. I mean, you must have pretty big balls to be doing that level of deals.
Kind of got to analyze the downside and there was no downside to it. You know, there's always a risk.
Yeah.
But I'm buying apartments that should be up for sale for 250,000 just on the building cost alone. So I took all the knowledge from the first build and I've done quite a lot of properties since then. Yeah. I haven't just gone 5 to 118.
Right.
I've done lots of individuals, my own personal house. I've sold big developments. So I know how to sell. You know, I've got a big company, big sales team. There was very little downside. And so I bought them.
Wow. Mm. So you bought for, how much do you pay for the block?
In total, it's going to work out at about 20 million.
Wow. That's huge, mate.
So I didn't think I don't know, because I've been selling big developments.
Yeah.
Because the real kind of, the big ones are, we sell developments in Lagos. And I negotiate a fantastic deal for all the clients. And I go see the developers and I say, if we sell all of these in one day, mm-hmm. give us a big discount.
Yeah.
And that's big for me because, I mean, there, the last development we sold was 79 units, each one priced at about 600,000 per unit. And we sold them in 2 hours. And it was just, and that was, I can't remember, but 55 million. So the little development, 20 million one feels little.
Because you've been used to handling it, even though it might not be your deal.
Yeah.
It's like my brother-in-law, Ben, who is a chartered surveyor.
Yeah.
And he was working for like Coca-Cola and companies like that, doing massive projects.
Yeah.
As was my wife. She's also a QS. She also worked for Coca-Cola and doing huge. And then when I married my wife, Amanda, and got in with them, they were doing massive deals, but not for themselves. For other people, but then when they left and came and worked with me, they massively leveled my business because I'm used to thinking, oh, I'll buy this house and turn it into a HMO, you know, get seven rooms. And my wife and Ben, my brother-in-law, was like, come on, man, we should do some bigger stuff than that. So yeah. They're like, okay, maybe we'll buy a factory there. So now I've got these big developments, but the people around me, like my wife and my brother, they don't see them as big developments. To them, it's like small fry because they're used to doing other stuff. And I think I've learned that sometimes big deals, although they are potentially more risky if you don't know what you're doing, because you can, if you do it wrong, you can go bankrupt on a huge deal. But just as difficult to do a big project as it is to do a small project.
Yep.
It's the same amount of effort and energy.
Yep.
I've had some right pain in the bum headaches with like $100,000 house. You know, 100,000 house, spend 50 grand doing it up, revive it at 200 grand, make 50 grand profit. And I'm thinking, that's more effort than this deal where I got a piece of land and built six houses. So it's really interesting. How much do you think your Tony Robbins and personal development journey you've been on for the last 11 years, the mindset has played into your property business?
I owe yourself massive thank you. You know, and you've been a true inspiration to me. You really are.
I really appreciate that.
Thank you. Thank you. And Tony Robbins has been a massive inspiration. So it's literally just you two that I follow. So, because I get confused. So I'm dyslexic.
Yeah, you said that earlier. You said there's loads of online teachers and that, but you just, no.
Yeah.
Just stick with me and Tony.
Yeah. And I prefer live events.
Yeah.
So I don't watch, I don't do that many virtual events. I don't watch that many YouTube videos. I don't generally read that many books. Mm-hmm. And because I'm not a great reader, I left school at 15.
You got dyslexic. You're dyslexic too.
Dyslexic, yeah. So I can't even type messages. I send videos to people, yeah. Which I think is just fantastic.
Yeah, I've noticed, man. Yeah. It's great though. You can see the energy, and it can be misconstrued anywhere. Text message, can't it?
Yeah.
Whereas a video or a voice note.
Video, voice note. I do voice notes, but you can speed them up. I sound like Mickey Mouse.
5'2" with a voice like Mickey Mouse. Don't want that.
No.
Yeah, that's interesting. So what is it that motivates you then, Chris? Like, what's your driving force behind doing all these deals?
Grew up in Grimsby, and I don't know, not a hard childhood, I wouldn't ever say that, but we didn't have any money. We didn't have enough money for food. So that's what made me into a chef. And I used to cook from the age of 8 or 9. Then we lost the house. Dad went on the scene, had a few stepdads, amazing people, and we moved to Cornwall, and she could never buy a house again. So it was the mortgage broker who let her down. So we had a great time. Grew up in Cornwall from the age of 11 till I was about 17. And Cornwall's a great place to live, but the property market is so expensive and we could never get back on the ladder. So it was always ingrained in me, property's a great investment. Property's a great investment. And I remember my parents telling me that the first house they ever bought was £1,800 in Grimsby. And then they sold it for £6,500. And that always stuck in my mind.
Yeah.
And it was just there. And I thought, well, you need two things. You need, and I have been taught by people where they say you need 6 or 7 streams of income. So I was always thinking, I want to make my life safe. I want to make it better for other people around me. I mean, my real estate team in Portugal, none of them have ever worked in real estate. I found them in supermarkets. I found them in bars and restaurants.
That's interesting.
And just really enjoyed doing that and really helping people.
Yeah.
And they're amazing people.
Yeah.
Anyone who picks up the phone to my company, they get the best service. Hand on heart, say, best company in the Algarve, Portugal. It's probably the largest independent company in Portugal now. We don't have a brand. I don't like being tied to anything. And I wanted independence. So we're independent. I remember Remax chasing me on another trip to Africa when we went to the orphanages. And in the beginning, he said, by the end of this trip, you'll sign up with Remax. By the end of it, he shook my hand and he went, keep doing what you're doing. Mm-hmm. And that was like, you know, it made me realize that we're on the right path. And that was 10 years ago.
And also your kids as well. I mean, I love the fact that you're bringing them down to the events. And you're right. You can't beat being in the room live. And I think a lot of people, there's a lot of people that sort of, now we're living in a very online world, aren't we? And people think, oh, you know, if you want to learn about something, just study online, which is great. And I've got online courses and I do YouTube content.
Yep.
But you can't beat going down live. How did you hear about the Property Investors Crash Course, the £1 event that I was running?
Wow. I think it was in Peterborough.
Yes. 2018. Maybe it was 2017, 2018.
Yeah. And I've done loads of events and I flew from Portugal, flew to the UK, turned up and it was packed. I was amazed. I thought there'd be 50 people and there was over 1,000 people. And I was working out the numbers in my mind thinking, And I paid £47 set on the front.
Okay, so it wasn't quite £1 you paid for the open. We don't do that anymore now, but yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
And then got your book and did the property event. It was 2 days. And nearly signed up for the academy, but I wasn't quite ready because, you know, I had to fly from Portugal. My kids were young.
Yeah.
Yeah, after that, it changed everything in my business. Like my rentals company, the influence you had on the rentals company was massive because I sped everything up. I learned how to just advertise better. And everything, you know, when you tell us about serviced accommodation, I just times that by 100. And we've got 144 rental properties. And then you would tell us about different aspects of the business. And I would just, you know, like the HMOs. And then I'd convert that into something else.
What do you think separates the winners and the losers in business?
I think you need a bit of a routine. So in the morning, I wake up in the morning and just have a little bit. You've got to wake up happy. You know, I wake up music. You know, with my kids, I put music on in the morning. We dance, we have a sing song. It's loads of fun.
Yeah.
They go to school in a positive mood, which then lifts my mood. I love dropping my son off at school and we have amazing conversations. And now I'm getting into a bit of fitness.
What do your kids think then? So how did you find trying to teach them about money and business and personal development when they're at the age they're at?
So what I do is I generally, because I'm not the best sales trainer or anything. And when I train people to sell, I show them. So I'll take them to an exhibition. I'll do the first two or three sit downs with clients and then say, off you go. And I'm here to support you. So I do the same with my children. I mean, with my son, I did a little thing where I wanted him to smile on pictures. So I would say, happy face, sad face, funny face from when he was really young, just to get a nice picture of him.
Yeah.
And that's kind of, you know, he's kind of controlled his mood. You know, I always say to him, breathe, breathe, because he holds his breath. And you can't hold your breath when you're in a situation and you're making a big decision. Like you're sat with a bank buying 20 million euro developments. You've got to remember to breathe.
Yeah, you know? Right, 100%.
And then I took Jacob to see Tony Robbins, and I'd love to bring him to your event, and Daisy. I took Daisy as well. And he kind of sat there, and I looked at him, and I went, you look bored. He went, you're saying everything you say.
Wow.
And I didn't realise I'd picked up so much.
Yeah, it's so true.
Yeah.
And kids do, not only did you pick up a lot, but the fact that they remember.
Yeah.
You know, that's crazy.
He went off to do the firewalk. He did high fives to 700 people. Then he went off to do the firework. And after, at the end, he went, you meant to celebrate. You know, it's a bit like the arrow that you do. And he walked off at the end of the firework. I'm like, did you like it? He went, yeah, it was all right. Done scarier things. I was like, I was scared during the firework.
Yeah, yeah. So you're raising some warriors then.
I'm so impressed with him.
Yeah, that's awesome. What would you say then if you were talking to somebody that was wanting to get into property?
Yeah.
And they were starting from scratch. I mean, what would be your advice to them?
I'd tell everyone, go to your course and then just watch you on YouTube, because that got me into it. Like the couple the other day, I sent a little video to you. I went, there you go. Went, wrote down your name, wrote down my phone number, said, ask me if you've got any questions, but go to your course, watch you on YouTube. So you're the key point for anyone in the UK. If you did international, that would be a major benefit.
Yeah, I mean, we do get a lot of people doing the online stuff. And even, it's crazy, even at the programs, like even at the £1 events, how many people do fly in? It's madness. I'll say, like, raise your hand if you had to come on a plane to get here. And they'll be like, 5% of the room.
Yeah.
And they'll be like, yeah, we came on a plane. Meanwhile, there's someone saying, when are you next in Grimsby? Because they don't want to drive to Manchester.
I know. That drives me insane.
Yeah, that's very common that I get that. I probably get 30 messages a day from people saying, like, when are you next coming to Liverpool? Because I've seen that you're only in Manchester and Leeds. And I'm thinking, if a couple hours journey will stop you, you're a stoppable person.
Yes.
So in business, there's a lot of, in fact, the whole definition of an entrepreneur is solving problems. It's firefighting, it's putting out problems. So what's going to happen is, if that's your mentality, you're going to fail anyway. Because when you get a really good property deal, you'll go, oh, but it's a bit far. Or, oh, I've not got the finance for it though. Or, oh, the mortgage broker said no. There's constant challenges in business.
Yes.
And you need to have the mentality of saying, actually, that's normal. And as an entrepreneur, we're going to solve those problems. And then that's how we get success.
I mean, I love one of the things you did, which was make it their problem. And I use that in everyday life.
Yes.
I'd smile and I get away with it better than you because I'm 5'2". You have to crouch down a bit. But like, go to the airport and they're like, no, you can't get a window seat. And I'm like, hello. So if I could get a window seat, what would be the solution?
Yeah.
And they're like, hey, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Make it their problem.
Make it their problem.
If they say, oh, no, we don't do company lets, we haven't got any properties available, and just say, okay, you know, so what do I need to do then?
Oh, I've got an amazing story for you. It's a sad one. My brother's been sick for some time. He's had three illnesses and gets me every time. He's better. He's okay. But he was sick when I was 14. And then he had really bad cancer when he was 35. I had to help him through the cancer, took 9 months off. And then 11 weeks ago, he had a heart attack. And I flew to the UK. I was really nervous, you know. And to be honest, I walked into hospital and he acted like it was nothing. You know, he went, it's not as bad as the cancer. So the heart attack this time was nowhere near as bad. You know, he went, yeah, I had a heart attack. I went, you're not working again. There's no way you're working. He's a school teacher. Given up his life for 20 years for the government. And they, you know, they're just like, keep being a school teacher. And they said, when are you going back to work? It's like the poor guy's had a heart attack, cancer, and there's not many people in the world that survive three major illnesses like that. And I always say he's the luckiest guy alive because he's alive. Yeah. And he's got the best sense of humor you'll ever see. So I'm in Cornwall and I'm thinking, he can't work anymore. I'll get him some money. I'll go and see some real estate agents.
Yeah.
And I took this wonderful lady, her name's Claire, down in Cornwall, and she took me out. She found me a property for £85,000 with a £2,000 a month rental yield on it. And I was like, that's amazing. I spent one day with her and I gave her a free holiday out of it. So she's going to come to Portugal and see us.
Nice.
Just, and give them the villa for free for a week.
That's so crazy.
It's just what goes around, comes yeah. around. Yeah. You know, they help you, you help them.
One of the things that I've noticed about you, Chris, and I've actually learned from you, is that to be super successful in business, you don't have to be ruthless. You don't have to be hard-nosed. You know, Duncan Valentine, I know he's a friend of yours, but Dragon's Den, they're really hard-nosed and mean. And you don't actually need to be like that in real life
no.
to be extremely successful. In fact, being kind and compassionate, I think, helps you. You know, Richard Branson, for example, I've met Richard Branson a couple of times and he's probably one of the kindest, soft-hearted, you know, most compassionate people. But actually, it's not contradictory to being also extremely successful.
Yeah.
Yeah, having lots of money doesn't mean you're hard-nosed and trample over people.
No.
I think money reveals who you really are. It doesn't change you. Because I was worried when I started out in business from a Christian background.
Yeah.
I was thinking like, you know, oh, do I even want to be rich? You know, because... aren't rich people greedy and jerks and stuff like that? But actually, money gives you options, doesn't it?
And that is something I want to talk to you about. So after going to Africa to see the orphanages in Kenya, and then recently just being in Africa with the Tony Robbins people.
Whereabouts were you there?
In Zambia.
Oh, beautiful. I've been there 11 times. Interesting, because when I first went to Zambia, again, like you said, you go out. I went out, my church sent me. And you go out because you think, yeah, I want to make a difference. But you come back different.
Yeah.
Yourself, you know, you go out to be a blessing and end up coming back blessed, come back changed. Yeah. You know, it's great that you're doing a lot of works, you know, overseas and helping people that are less fortunate.
Yeah.
What would you say has been the hardest from your business? You run a lot of businesses, real estate, doing your developments and your agency work. You've sold hundreds of deals as well. What's the biggest challenge that you face, would you say?
Probably the biggest one was, some people call it imposter syndrome.
Yeah.
And you're like... Do we belong in this environment? Because, you know, I've got no formal qualifications. I left school at 15. My first little business, and I always forget this, was I persuaded my mum to buy me an ice cream van when I was 15. Wow. And that's how I got to know Duncan. That was a bit of a rapport. And I persuaded my mum had an XR3i, if you remember the Ford Escort. I said, sell that. Let's go to a car auction. And she brought me an ice cream van and I was terrible at it.
That's hilarious. Like a first little business. What a business to have.
Yeah.
I've heard that they're quite protective about their patches.
Yeah.
Like if you set up an ice cream van and someone's already doing it, they'll like kneecap you or something. You know, they're pretty...
can be scary. Yeah. I used to get my mum to drive it. And I used to save the ice creams in the back.
Wow. I see that a lot as well with... I did an interview with James Caan, also on Dragon's Den.
Oh, yeah.
And there's a lot of patterns. When you get people that are very successful in business, you look at them when they're a kid. Most of us did paper rounds.
Yes.
Don't know if you had a... Did you have a paper round?
I didn't. I had
you had an ice cream truck, though, so...
I had a car wash business. So, and then I figured out that... I remember one lady paid me with a boiled egg. And then it reminded me, I've got to ask for the 50p to clean the car. And then I got some friends to help me.
Yeah.
And paid them 25p.
Entrepreneurs, do you think that they're born or are they made?
I don't know. I mean, so I had 42 different jobs before I started my company.
42 jobs?
42 jobs. I used to be a chef in the winter. Well, a cook. I don't know if you'd call it a chef, but then I did have a massive achievement. When I was young, I became the youngest head chef in France. I was 17.
If I'd known that, I'd have said, we'll have some lunch afterwards. You can maybe make a meal.
It's been a while. Barbecue. And then I used to be a holiday rep. So I worked in Spain.
I can see that. I can see you being a holiday rep.
It's loads of fun.
Yeah. I can imagine that.
And then went off traveling around Australia. I did try going to university, but just one for me.
It's interesting as well. I think the world is different now because a lot of people say to me like, oh, my parents are telling me to do this. And the advice in 2023, it just seems awful, but it's probably because it worked in 1993.
Yeah.
But the world's different now. I mean, the fact that you had 42 jobs, the old school way is go to school, go to college, university, whatever, get learn a trade or get a degree and then get a good job for life.
It just doesn't exist.
It doesn't exist.
No.
Tell me a person that has a good job for life in 2023. Because I can't remember what the stat is. I think I have to Google this, but from memory, by the age of 40, the average person has 21 jobs.
Yep.
So the amount of times you're made redundant or have to switch, or the environment becomes toxic and you're forced out or relocate. So the idea of getting a degree and getting a good job for life, it doesn't exist.
No.
And also it's the same story with money in the bank. You know, I mean, they used to give you a lot of interest with your money in the bank.
Yeah.
Not going back that far, you get 5% return on your money. That's not bad.
Yep.
Now you're lucky if you get 0.5% on your money. So putting money in the bank and getting a degree and getting a good job for life and buying a house, paying down the mortgage, even buying a house. I mean, now the average house in the UK is around about 280 grand. If you're buying a property as an investment, your deposit's going to be 25%. So with your stamp duty and your legal fees, you're talking about 70 grand to buy a house,
yep,
to rent out. Who can save 70 grand in a job?
If you're earning 40 grand.
Or even less, the average salary is 30 grand. Minus your pay away tax and whatnot, you're left with a couple grand a month. But if you're renting, the average rent is a grand. Then you've got your bills and whatnot. You know, even if you don't eat, you're looking to save £500 a month, which means you're going to be waiting 10, 15 years to save a deposit on a house. So how do you break out of that rat race mentality and you know, explain to the older generation that, you know, parent stuff, that it doesn't work anymore? Because it just doesn't. The system is completely broken and rigged.
Yep. I mean, the biggest thing for me is traveling. You get to learn new experiences, you get to meet new people, and it's taking opportunities. But traveling is key. I mean, you need the mindset. I mean, I'm now going to the gym every day. I take my son to the gym, and my daughter loves swimming, dancing. So you got to get your fitness up there. You got to get movement.
Energy
is key.
It is.
Energy is
big
key.
Big energy, big bank.
Big, yeah. Get the music on. Get dancing. Right. Let's go.
Yeah, people don't understand that.
Yeah.
They'll come to some of my training and they'll be thinking, you know, oh man, Samuel's asking me to high five somebody.
Yeah.
High music. What's this? But it's like, now you've got to have high energy.
Yes.
You know, it's not about, you know, just sort of like studying and being studious. And it's about having high energy. Because if you've got, I know if I can get people into that state, then when I say to them, right now, pick up the phone.
Then do it. Yes.
And you know what it's like with my friend. I'll be making people call agents, call landlords, make deals happen there and then. But if you're in that studious mindset, detail and getting all your ducks in a row, waiting for all the traffic lights to be on green before you leave the house, if you're in that mentality, you're not going to be successful.
No. No, you just got to go for it. Really go for it. Get the music on. Get dancing. You know, jump up and down. I love that. Jump up and down 20 times. Get a rebounder. Do some bouncing.
Well, yeah. I mean, doing this, for me, this is my kind of payment. I know some of the programs there's investments and stuff, but the real payment for me as a trainer is this. Sat down with people like yourself from all different backgrounds, telling me their story of how I might have been a small part or a big part of their journey. You know, it's huge for me.
The real big thing for me is, you know, the properties, the money, the success, but it's what you do with it. What I would like to say thank you by saying is, what I'm currently doing is I'm helping out an orphanage in Albufeira and using all the success from that to build them a beautiful garden. It's quite a big garden.
Okay.
So I turned up there at the orphanage. I've known them since just after the £1 event, the first one. I used to go in at Christmas. I used to dress as Santa, put a beard on, give him some presents. And I always wanted to do more. And just before COVID hit, I wanted to go in there and refurbish the orphanage. And COVID hit and nearly wiped me out, like it did with a lot of people. And I finally got round to going back. And they closed the orphanage down. And they've moved them all to a bigger orphanage in Albufeira. 44 children there. And I walked in there and wanted to say hello, see some of the kids who I've known from years of previously. And they said to me, yeah, we've got a quote. I said, how can I help you? You know, I know you don't need help, but if I could assist you with anything. And they said, well, we're trying to get the garden done. We've been quoted €250,000 to do the garden. I went, no. We can do this for about 40,000.
Yeah.
And if that, so every apartment we sold of the 118 apartments, 1,000 goes in a pot. We've got €67,000 sat there ready to go. And then I got my builder mate, Carl, and went, come on, you're doing a garden. He turned up, he went, oh my God, we've got to refurbish the entire building, haven't we? I went, yeah, you're going to be here for 3 years. I'm lucky he's one of my best mates. So we're going to refurbish the garden, give him a place to just relax. It's got an amazing sea view. And we're going to put a swimming pool in. And we've given an internship to one of the girls. She's 19. She works in our office, training to be an accountant. So it's amazing.
It also makes the job satisfaction of doing your business so much better when you know that it's, you're not just going to be able to provide housing for people, and you're also, you know, you're helping more people. That's awesome. Talk to me about your staff hiring process then. You mentioned that you find people, waitresses, and
what's the
rationale behind that? Is that because you want to give people opportunity and equal the playing field, or is it because they actually make better workers and they're harder workers? And what is it?
Well, I like people who've been in the service industry because they're like me. If anyone ever turns up and they go, yeah, I've been a holiday rep, I know what they've been through.
Right.
So, and then it's easy to switch that into property.
Yeah.
And then just look after people.
Yeah.
Like if you go, I've only got two offices in the Algarve. If you go in any of my offices, they'll look after you like amazingly. Mm-hmm. And they know about property investing. You know, like Portugal, I don't buy in the UK because I think the interest rates are too high. In Portugal, the interest rates are around 4%.
Mm.
They don't differentiate between investors or lifestyle buyers.
Right.
So bring in a good team, train them on that, and it's literally just show them the way.
Yeah.
So you get an intense training without really, because you know what it's like training people.
Yeah.
You have to get the message in.
Right.
Rather, you know, I'm better at showing people.
Yeah.
I can't do what you do and stand up and train people for 2 days. I've never really done that. But what I can do is show people how to do it.
Yeah.
And sit with them on a one-to-one basis. And, you know, I train people up to groups of 50 people.
Mm.
So, and people always tell me, whether it's one person, 50, or 10,000, it's the same. But it still gets me nervous. Like when I stood up and did the speech in front of 10,000 people.
Yeah, that's huge, mate. It's funny because in my company as well, there's a lot of people that we've hired that have gone to do really well and work themselves up the ranks, but they were working at McDonald's or retail. And I think degrees are becoming less and less important, unless you want to be a doctor or something, in which case, absolutely. I'd hope that somebody doing surgery on me has done the right training and been to the right universities, absolutely. But generally speaking, in most professions, it's about just being good rather than having a degree.
I like this, as long as I've got good life experience.
Right.
You know, if someone's got a story and they've perhaps been through some hardship, you know, they're amazing people because they've been through, you kind of, they've overcome something. Sometimes if you've been to university, you've never had any hardship, you know, so that can be quite tricky.
Yeah. What's the vision with the property company then?
So vision with the property company, I've stepped away. Angela's running that. The team are amazing. I go in that office and I truly, truly like a family to me because I didn't have a family in Portugal. So I had to kind of create one. So I truly miss them. But my true vision with that is to let that run itself. I cause chaos. I go in there with all these ideas.
Of course, yeah. Like every entrepreneur.
Yeah, they chase me away. Yeah. Just leave us alone. Go away.
You need people to tidy up the mess that you create as an entrepreneur.
They call me chaos.
Yeah.
I go in there, put the music on, jump up and down for 10 minutes. And they're like, just let us get on the phone, look after the clothes.
Yeah.
So I've stepped away from that for now. And I truly have stepped away. And I shouldn't use that term for now, but Angela said, she's going to run that company. And she is. And there's a great team, you know, Christina, the CFO, she's amazing. So they'll run that. And now I'm concentrating on finding a new way to help people and pay back.
Well, even being on this podcast is helping people because it's being an inspiration and it's giving people, you know, a lot of golden nuggets. What do you think? You've invested in and you've been involved in a lot of property deals in 23 different countries. What do you think the best country is for property investment right now?
Portugal by far.
Really?
Yeah, because...
Wow, am I missing out then? It's one of the... I've invested in quite a lot of different countries now. Ghana specifically as well. Heavily investing in Ghana. I'm investing in quite a few different countries. 95% of my properties are in the UK, but I've not done anything in Portugal. So talk to me about Portugal investments then.
So Portugal, I mean, people don't realise how good it is. It's a sleeping giant. So everyone looks at Spain because of the price point, but there's some absolute bargains in Portugal. And the biggest thing for me with that is it's a safe investment. There's no big companies in there, no big developers. And if we look at the numbers there, because we have to use a comparison, but if you look at, say, the Costa del Sol, there's over 1 million properties for sale. You look at the Algarve, there's only around 16,000 for sale. But yeah, Portugal, you can still get 80, 90% finance. I can get 100% finance. I can walk in there. There's an apartment for sale at the minute that I'm kind of chasing, €154,000, because I'm classed as Portuguese, 100% finance. Why would you not buy it? You know, the long-term rental market, I advertised one property for €1,000 a month, two-bed, two-bath apartment. 77 people applied for it.
Yeah.
It's insane.
So how much would the interest rates be then on that? Like 4%, you say?
4%.
So you're going to be paying... So if you're renting out for $1,000, yeah, how much are you going to be paying on the interest payments?
You're probably cash flowing around about 400 euros a month.
And how are you getting 100% finance?
It's a bank repossession. For people from the UK, you can get 90% finance.
Really?
On a bank repossession. Like I brought a property in Val de Lobo. I paid 410 for it. They lent me 100% of the money. Then I had to light refurb. I got one of my team members to do it. And then furnished it, 16,000 euros. Rented it out $3,000 a week in high season.
$3,000 a week?
In high season.
Right.
And kept it for 3 years. Sat it on the market. All real estate should always be up for sale.
Everything's for sale.
Everything's for sale.
It is.
So yeah, put it up for sale for 600,000. Someone came in, paid 575. They're happy. I'm happy. I moved that money to another property, and that's the way life should work.
That's great. Mm. That's great.
The best one I've got is my own personal house. I brought this pink house in the middle of nowhere. It was like a Barbie house. I brought it from the bank for 420. They lent me 90%. They were really strict on the mortgage, and they made me run on a treadmill. I couldn't even run.
You literally run on a treadmill?
Run on a treadmill, a medical for the mortgage.
No.
Yeah.
That is classic.
Because
it's a residential.
Yeah. Oh. Well, it wasn't a residential. It was just that bank at that time were just over strict.
I'd have been screwed a year ago. I wouldn't have had any properties.
I was like running 2014, 15. This one was 19.
2019.
I weighed 20 kilos more.
Yeah.
And I was smoking 20 fags a day. And I was drinking. I never do that anymore. And I'm trying to run on the treadmill. And they lent me 90%. The numbers on it were 420. I then borrowed another 200,000 to do a refurb on it. And I was always worried about not being able to afford the mortgage. And while it was getting built, we had to move out of our rented house. And the Algarve's so expensive to stay in the summer. We went off to Thailand, took the kids.
Yeah.
And then next year I remember what you said. And I thought, I'll make it serviced accommodation, holiday lets.
Yeah.
And I brought my rentals manager around at the time. I said, do you reckon you can get me $3,000 a week? She went, six. I'll get you six. So we went off to Thailand again. Then we went to Vietnam. And last year, the numbers on it are, I'll be totally honest, it's probably worth 2.5 million. It's on the market for 2.9.
So what, you made over 2 million on it?
Yeah.
Jeez.
And then last year, it rented out for 83,000 for 7 weeks. The numbers are just crazy.
That is insane.
Yeah. And then I don't have to pay anyone because I've got the management company.
Thank God you were able to run on that treadmill.
I know. I know. And I was sweating. I was like,
£2 million if you keep going for the
treadmill. If I'd have known at the time, I'd have run faster.
Nuts. Did you say you've done a bit of rent to rent as well?
Yeah, I did one. And that was to help a client out. The numbers on that, he always received about 2,000 a month.
Sorry, just to understand, yeah. When you say to help a client out, what do you mean?
So he's a client who brought a property from us 10 years ago.
Yeah.
He needed a bit of refurbing. He's a friend of mine, lovely guy called Graham. And I went, you know what? Give us your villa. I'll give you £2,000 a month.
It's just an interesting perspective because most people say, how do you get rent to rent? How do you persuade landlords to give you? But you're saying, I did it to help him out.
Yeah.
It's a different mentality though. In business, when you're thinking about helping people, as opposed to thinking, how can I get a deal?
Oh, no.
It's a different mentality. So it's just interesting language that you used right there.
Yeah, I think if you think like that, you've got to help people. And the way you teach that and taught me that was you exhaust every opportunity.
Right.
So with Graham, I said, let's just get, your pool fixed. Let's get your house repainted. And he's like, oh, well, I have to keep flying across here. And I'm like, well, I'll get someone to do it. And then he goes, well, keep on it, Chris. I'm like, I'm kind of busy here, Graham.
Yeah.
I'm trying to look after 50 staff, 150 support staff for the company. Because the 50 staff, when I say we've got 50, they're paid employees. They're not commission-only people.
Yeah.
Then there's another 150 cleaners, maintenance people. So I'm trying to look after all that. And then Graham's like, I'm like, Graham, you know what? We truly get on like a house on fire. He's hilarious. And I said, let me just rent it from you. You can use it. So he uses it 1-2 weeks of the year, him and his daughter and his family. I said, so you still use it? Just let me take care of it. And then we went in, we brought some new furniture, started renting it out. But the yield on it is insane. So what I do is I Graham will be asking me for more money from this. And it's fine, I'll pay him a bit more. But what I do
you won't mind because you took the pain away.
Yeah, so I give it away to people for free.
Yeah.
So I say, you can stay here.
How much do you pay Graham?
Pay him 2,000 a month.
And what profit does it bring you in?
Probably 200,000.
£200,000 profit?
Because what I do is I put people in there, say, you stay in the villa, and then they're looking for a property. Some people buy, some people don't. But they stay there for a week's holiday. And they go, oh, can you show us a property to buy?
Oh, yeah. Right, yes.
Yeah.
And then you sell them deals.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you're making money every which way and helping everybody out at the same time.
The worst case scenario is it costs me 500 a week and I give it away for free. It's cost me 500. So there's a massive upside and it helps people.
No, mate, that's awesome.
It all started from taking him out for dinner. And we went and had a beautiful dinner in a restaurant. And and just went, I'll get the bill.
What's your experience been like on the Academy? You talked about the £1 crash course.
Yeah, so I really love the Academy. There's so much high energy there.
Yeah.
You know, and other people talk to me about other property trainers and I'm like, no. You want to go to Samuel Leeds? It's high energy, amazing people. I mean, I met a lovely couple, Carly and Daly.
Yeah, nice couple.
A really nice couple. They were working at Tesla and they're still at Tesla and they helped me buy my brother a car, you know, after his illness. So I kept in touch with him.
That's nice.
And now we're doing different businesses together. I brought them to the Tony Robbins event. They helped me do a charity event to raise money for the orphanage.
That's great.
And she organised and Daly organised that in a day. And we're on target with that one to raise, on the night we raised 7,000. We've got a promise from a donor to give $250,000 to charity, to Africa. So they helped do that.
That's great.
So the Academy, I'm just blown away with it. Mm-hmm. I went to the Academy dinner, had a fantastic time. I've only done two things with the Academy. And when you let me stand up, and I met Russell and Monica, they're lovely people, and they've reserved some properties, and they got a special deal because they're Academy members.
Nice.
And I took them to Tony Robbins as well.
Wow.
Yes, so they're absolutely buzzing, lovely people.
A lot of it is about the network, isn't it? It's not just what you know, it's who you know. So, you know, in terms of obviously the Academy, you've got the mentorship and stuff. You can book as many mentoring calls as you want. You've got the training, but the community and the network is just, you know, you do one deal.
Yeah.
It's paid for itself. So final words of wisdom for anyone watching this that's thinking, I'm really inspired, Chris. I want to get into property. I want to think bigger. I want to get my first deal over the line. What, from all of your experience over the years in property and from what you've done, what would be your best piece of advice?
Mindset is everything.
Yeah.
But I would say proximity is power. You know, I've got next to some of the nicest, kindest people in the world, you know, and it's about being in that environment.
Yeah.
If you want to get into property, go see some real estate agents.
Yeah, right.
That's
yeah.
it. Go and talk to them.
Absolutely.
Don't be afraid. Be fearless.
Yeah.
Push yourself out of your comfort zone. If you really want to get into property, I took my team skydiving the other week. And throwing people out of a plane and jumping with them. And that is the best thing.
That's why I bungee jump.
Yes.
Because it's like, you need to train your mind that when you're afraid, you have to just sometimes just do it anyway.
Yes.
And in property, you have to act quick as well a lot of the time.
Be fast.
When a deal comes along, you've got to act quick. Everyone thinks, you know, I'll sleep on it. I'll speak to this person, speak to that person. You're not committing to necessarily having to buy it, but just move quick.
Go for it.
Go for it.
Yeah,
I love that.
Go for it. Make your move. Let's go. That's
Chris,
what it is.
I appreciate you coming out.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate you
not just coming on the show, but also I appreciate your humility as well in what you've done and remembering where you've come from, honouring those that have helped you along the way. It's been an absolute pleasure.
I truly just wanted to say thank you. And, you know, I'm happy to share my story, share some quite vulnerable information, but that's the key in it, being vulnerable.
Yeah,
being
absolutely.
Honest. So thank you.
Respect, Chris.
Thank you. Thank you so much.